Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation, where we've raised over $65 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or subscribe on iTunes. Our next guest, producer and director of the amazing film City Slickers Can't Stay With Me, the Coach Bob Larson story, and that's at BobLarsonFilm.com, Mr. Robert Lusitana. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thanks for having me on the radio tonight. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. So let's talk about this. You first met Coach Larson when? Were you out of high school at that point?
Yep, I was out of high school, and Coach Larson was generous enough to give me the opportunity to run for him at Grossmont Junior College when he was there. I wasn't much to speak of in high school, as a distance runner, but I don't know. He was generous and allowed a lot of us to train.
So you go to Grossmont, and at that point, did you think that you had the capability of running at a four-year college?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure why I did it, other than the fact that my friends convinced me to come out there. I think my family thought I was nuts. but I didn't think that, but thankfully I did. It changed the direction of my life for sure.
So running at Grossmont, and talk a little bit about what it was about Coach Larson. I talk to people all the time about the coach, and I always loved his philosophy. He told me, you know you're a successful coach when your runners are still running 10 years after college. And most coaches tend to use their runners up, and they're trying to get another job, and they tend to race their guys a lot and train their guys a lot. Coach Larson always seemed to be one of those very opposite of that. What made him great in your mind is a guy who is running for him?
I actually think, this sounds very simple, but it's really the truth. He took everybody as individuals. He trained them, certainly he has a running, training philosophy, but he looked at everybody differently, and he figured out, Tom Lux and I always talk about how Coach Larson has the magic, but he's able to figure out how to get the best out of each athlete. And it's not the same formula for each person. He would do one thing for Ed Mendoza, and Kirk Pfeffer would do something completely different, And, basically, Coach just created an environment that we all enjoyed and we trained, and, it was a great place to be.
Well, and you also got better.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody got better. And that's what I mean. He was able to, get the best out of every single guy there. And, again, he did it, differently for everybody. So just a special coach and a special human being, for sure.
So you end up going – he ends up going off to UCLA, and you end up at UCLA.
Yeah, at the time I was actually considering, in fact, I probably would have gone to SC.
Yeah.
But when he got the job, he knew I was a good student, so he asked me, he didn't have to do anything to get me in or anything, so
yeah.
He asked me to come up there and help get things going. And Glenn Best was up there ahead of us. Glenn had run at Grossmont a couple of years before, so he was sort of already there. And then Steve Ortiz and I came up, and fortunately we were the first UCLA Bruin team ever to make it to NCAA finals.
Wow. For a kid who didn't even know if he was going to run in college to all of a sudden be running at UCLA at a high level, you must have been just this is unbelievable.
Absolutely. If you'd asked anybody on my high school team which one of us would be running Division I in the NCAA championship know, as a junior in college, I wouldn't have gotten any votes.
Wow. So when you leave college, and a lot of times athletes don't really appreciate a coach until after they leave. Now, did you have any – when you left college, was the type of thing where you thought, oh, I'm going to go run professionally, or, hey, my running is – now will become recreational. I'll go get a real job.
Well, I think that's what everybody struggles with at some point. You know, you're not – you don't have that team anymore.
Right.
And it's very hard. If you're not the top guy, you know, if you're not winning NCAAs, it really doesn't look like there's a whole lot of future for you. So – yeah, I struggled with that for a while.
And then you go off and you get into the business world. And when did you get to the point where you felt like, you know, I think I want to do a movie about Coach Larson? Did that come from conversations with other athletes saying, you know, we really need to tell this story?
Well, honestly, I think what happened was, yeah, I went off into the business world and, you know, I kept running, but
stopped
racing. And I just, at some point, I realized that I owed a lot to, you know, Coach Larson, and I decided to go down and try to see if I could find him. You know, I hadn't talked to him in probably about 10 years, and I went down to see if I could find him. There was a national championship race down in Mission Bay, and I figured he'd probably be there. So
yeah,
I showed up, and lo and behold, there was about 5 or 10 of us down there doing the same thing. So we were all, you know, we hadn't seen each other in a while, and we were all just sitting around talking, and while we were waiting to see Coach Larson, and, you know, somebody mentioned, you know, somebody should write a book about the Toads and
yes,
and the whole environment. And, you know, that was kind of the seed. And then probably, I don't know, 6 months after that, you know, I'd actually been trying to get somebody to write the book because I'm not an author. I just decided, well, heck, why don't I do a movie?
I've never written a book or done a movie. Why don't I do something that costs a hell of a lot more than a book? Why don't I go and try to figure out how to do that? The learning to be a filmmaker and producing a documentary on somebody. Is people don't understand how involved, how expensive, sound, lighting, rights fees. What was the biggest challenge for you in all of this?
Well, first of all, I was super fortunate. My sister has been in the television business for years and years,
right?
Which is probably the reason that I decided to, you know, that I decided I even have a shot.
Yeah.
But she hooked me up with a lot of really great people, which ultimately was, you know, is the reason why this film came out as good as it did. But to answer your question, I think all of it was hard. And I had no idea, honestly, I had no idea. You know, I figured the organizational end of it would be simple, which it was. But the editing and the fine-tuning that goes into a film is mind-boggling. You know, and I didn't really understand any of it until, you know, I looked back and I saw, you know, the result, the final product, and it's just amazing. You know, I see things in the film that I remember thinking, oh, that's not going to look good at all. Lo and behold, it comes out great. You know, so it's like anything. You start something and it costs twice as much as you expected, but fortunately, it came out really, really great. Something that, which my main goal was to have Coach Larson be proud of it.
Exactly.
And he actually, you know, he tried to talk me out of it at the very beginning, but
I know.
Thanks to a few people like you.
he called me. He said, "Do you think this is just too egocentric for doing it?" I said, "Coach, this highlights not just you. It highlights the Toads. It highlights, you know, everybody from the Buckinghams to, you know, Ed Mendoza to Kirk Pfeffer to what you guys did in 1976. To me, one of the toughest parts when you first mentioned wanting to do this film the money shot was the 76 race when they won the cross country championship, the Hamul Toads, who people call them the Jamul Toads, back in Philadelphia. And I'm going, okay, that was 76. I know how hard it is for me to find Ironman footage from the 80s. I can't even imagine how hard it's going to be to find any type of, I don't know if there is any video. So you're building a film around something there might not be a lot of content on. That to me was what I saw as the biggest challenge.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, that of course was super difficult, and I think I was probably a little naive. I probably thought it would be fairly simple.
Yeah, it's a national championship. Somebody's got to have filmed it.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, well, somebody has Super 8.
And, yeah.
You know, ultimately, it came down to Coach Larson.
Yeah, right.
He actually had, we don't have footage of that race, but he actually has photographs.
Right.
And he, you know, he denied it up until I actually found them in a box of stuff that he handed me. So,
wow. I mean, because that really,
super fortunate that we found it.
Yeah. So you've got Coach Larson, you've got the 1976 race, and then this becomes a moving target. Because to me, what I love about the movie, when I think back to a movie like Seabiscuit, you've got the jockey story, the trainer story, the owner story, the horse's story, the jockey story. And then all of a sudden, they all come together. And what I love about this is you've got Coach Larson and his background, and you've got Meb Keflezighi from Eritrea, part of a family of 10 that escaped this horrific country, and then they come together. Being able to piece that together, the Meb story, Coach Larson's story, the Olympic trials, Boston. I mean, like I said, this was a moving target. This film changed directions a number of times.
Absolutely. We had three different endings.
So, I love that.
Right. And that of course, made the editing and the cutting of the film kind of difficult. But it was, we're very fortunate. You know, that because people loved Meb and Coach Larson, that we had a lot of doors open for us.
Right.
And we were presented with, you know, a lot of opportunities that I think probably somebody who didn't know them would have had struggled.
Right.
So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And I didn't really complain when Meb won Boston. I didn't mind that we had to change fans being at that
right,
point.
Right. So when you're, were there things that you didn't know about Coach Larson that you learned through this film? Because you weren't part of that 76 team that won the national championships when nobody knew who these guys were. You came on the scene a little later than that.
Yeah. I mean, all those guys were my idols when I was a kid. So, and they're probably the reason why I, you know, got into running in the first place. I mean, I read about those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I saw them and whatnot. Tom Lex and Ed Mendoza and Kirk Pfeffer and Dave Harper and Dale Fleet.
Yeah.
So all those guys, I mean, I knew a lot about. I think the things that I really wasn't educated on so much was really the UCLA years after I left, you know, those great 87, 88 track and field teams that Coach Larson had, the NCAA championship teams, those fantastic athletes that won all the gold medals in that 88
right.
Olympics. And then also I really, you know, I knew who Meb was, but that's really the great thing about having done this film is, you know, I've met Meb and I've met the family and I got to know them and, you know, I'm really good friends with Meb's brother, Merhawi, and, you know, all that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been, you know, hadn't been fortunate enough to do this film. So all those things were, you know, sort of eye-openers to me.
When we had the premiere at the La Paloma here in San Diego, and you have a Tom Lux and a the Buckingham brothers and Coach Larson, and sort of this reunion. It was a film, you know, it was a film premiere, but at the same time, it was almost like a family reunion for the Toads. How special was that evening for you?
Oh, that was absolutely awesome. You know, I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than the fact that, you know, the audience was all, I don't want to say electric because that's a little cliche.
But it's true. Yeah, it was.
And everybody really enjoyed it and had a wonderful time. They hadn't seen each other in years, and, you know, there was a lot of pictures being taken and hands being, you know, shaken. And
hugs,
it was really,
yeah,
it was really awesome, you know, because it's all these years later. I mean, you know, 1976 is,
yeah,
what, 40, am I doing my math right? Yeah, 40 years ago. So,
yeah,
it was great, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we were sold out. You know,
yes,
we
were.
House.
I love that. So the other side of it is you do a film that's very San Diego-centric. And I'm sure there were points where you're going, God, I wonder if this will play. I know Meb's an international figure. Coach Larson has coached. He's an Olympic coach. But a lot of the story is, you know, Meb lived in San Diego. Coach Larson lived in San Diego. The Hommel Toads were San Diego. Was there a concern that, God, when we put this in front of an audience, even if it's a running audience, if we're in Boston or New York or somewhere else where people are, they're going to be like, oh, this isn't, I'm not going to, they're not really involved, not really interested in it?
Of course there was a concern. I think up until the first time we really showed it, which was
Boston. Yeah.
I'm sure that none of us were, we all felt it was good and it came out great, but you don't really know until the audience, you know, you see the audience reaction.
Right.
And, you know, everybody laughs when they're supposed to laugh.
And, yep. That's true.
They're supposed to be tense, you know, tension. I think that it, you know, I'm not a filmmaker by trade, and so it is a bit of a struggle to try to get this out there so that people can see it. But every time I show it and I watch the audience's reaction, I think, you know, they love it. So I just, you know, I got to keep pushing away and getting it done, getting it some exposure.
Speaking of that, October 3rd in San Diego, you have a showing that's a fundraiser for the CCA Cross Country and Raven Athletic. Talk a little bit about where and when.
Okay, so the as you said, it's October 3rd, which is a Saturday, and the film airs at 6:30. Excuse me. And it's at the Presidium Theater, which is there on campus at Canyon Crest Academy.
Okay.
And it's a state-of-the-art theater, because they're a music arts school. And, you know, the cross-country team who I happen to... I happen to coach with Andy Corman. I'm an assistant coach there. You know, we needed a fundraiser, and I thought, what the heck, let's do it, and let's try to get as many, you know, high school cross-country runners and coaches and anybody else who wants to come out and see it to help raise some funds for the school. So, you know, it's 100% of the funds go to the team and Raven Athletics. So,
and people can go on BobLarsonFilm.com and get tickets.
Yes, they can go on BobLarsonFilm.com and get tickets. And that's probably the simplest way to do it.
You also have, you mentioned to me that you're going to be doing some showings in both New York and I think in L.A. And when will those be?
Well, we've got a few things going
okay.
on, which is great. The night before the showing at Canyon Crest, we have a Friday night showing up in San Francisco at Sacred Heart Cathedral Preparatory School.
Wow!
And yeah, and that's being put together by Andy Chen, who was an assistant coach with Coach Larson up at UCLA.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah, he's a coach at that prep school, and he saw the film in Eugene, and he loved it, and he said, got to get this up here. So that's going on October 2nd. And then the other thing that, which you mentioned, was that We are actually showing the film for a week in both New York and L.A. It's the same week. It's October 30th through November 5th. And the film, it'll be like an official deal where there's the four screen times a day. And it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
and,
it is a big deal.
yeah. And in New York, it's at the AMC Empire, which is right there in Manhattan. And in Los Angeles, it's at the Lemley Music Hall, which is in Beverly Hills. And, you know, we're hoping that gets a little bit more exposure for us and we can get the ball rolling on this.
I love that. That's a big commitment. You start talking about a full week at four showings a day in New York and L.A.
Yeah, yeah. I just figured
go for it.
That would be the best way to do it because those are the two big media markets, obviously. And you know, if we can get some media out there, and I feel pretty confident that you know, the audience does love the film. I'm sure not everybody loves everything, but I feel really confident that if we can get some exposure, that people will be able to, you know, we can get it rolling and we can have more people see it and they can learn about, you know, Coach Larson's great career and all the great athletes that ran for him over the years and, you know, learn the Meb story.
What are the life lessons that you learned from Coach Larson?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, is that if you... You know, my dad always told me, you know, you can do anything you believe you can do. And, you know, I didn't really listen.
Because it was your dad. Because your dad's supposed to say it, yeah.
Their parents. And, you know, the trials and tribulations of becoming a distance runner and struggling, you know, I wasn't good in high school. And just being, you know, Coach Larson has given me the opportunity. It's shown me, you know, with hard work and perseverance and attention to detail, you can pretty much do anything that you really set your mind to. That doesn't mean it's going to come automatically or it's going to be, you know, somebody's going to gift it to you. You just got to keep after it. So I think that really is, honestly, the big thing. And then to treat everybody fairly,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So those are the two major things that I took.
Cool. And again, the website is BobLarsonFilm.com, and people can check out all the upcoming showings, Robert?
Yeah. Now, the New York and L.A. Screenings have – they're not yet
up there
announced.
Yet? Yeah, that's a couple
yet
times.
Announced, but I mean, this is actually – I'm announcing it right now. So.
I like that. We got an exclusive.
Yeah.
On Babbittville, we have just announced October 30th, November 5th. In New York and in L.A.
Yep. So you're the first. You scooped it.
I got the scoop. Yeah. Forget Runner's World. They know nothing. Robert, congratulations on the film. My recommendation is for anybody out there, if you're an endurance athlete, running, triathlon, cycling, mountain biking, it doesn't matter. This film is mesmerizing. Just the scenics, for somebody who hasn't produced a film before, the scenics up in Mammoth, the excitement of the Boston Marathon, of Meb winning that, taking you inside, behind the scenes, being in London at the Olympics, and, you know, Meb winning the Olympic trials in Houston. There's just so much great great coverage, plus the flashbacks to the 1976 race and the blow-by-blow, and when you see what happened there with this little, you know, this team from Grossmont, his team, the Hamul Toads, that nobody knew how to spell it, what it meant, competing against Frank Shorter and the boys and teams from Colorado, really organized teams. And these were basically hippies who ran fast. Right? That's what they looked like. Long-haired,
exactly,
mustache,
yeah.
Beards, just going out there. And the bond between those athletes and that coach comes across and resonates on the screen. It's really, really a very, very special movie. You should be very proud, Robert. Most people never make a movie, but to make your first movie and have it be a home run like that is very special.
Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your having me on the program.
Love it. Robert Lusitania has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by Ironman U, RP.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $65 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or go to Babbittville.com. And BobLarsonFilm.com. If you have not seen the film yet, you need to go see it. Tell your buddies and go see it. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.